And good evening and welcome to episode 13 of the Vegan Hour on Tuesday, July the 9th. I got it right. Jeez, I'm getting good at this. And I can see a few people coming online already. Thank you, everyone that's coming online. Tonight, I have Dr. Andrew Little. We're going to be having a really good chat. We've already been having a fantastic chat. Sorry you guys missed it. We'll see if we can replicate it again whilst we're live. But first, whilst people are coming online, as always, I want to thank my wonderful sponsors that help make the Vegan Hour possible. Behind me, you can see the poster there for Vegan Frothers, cruelty-free clothing, 100% support. All of their profits go to animal sanctuaries, so you can buy from them and you're helping the animals at the same time. So that's, oh, we've got a hi from Jenna, and Damien says, hey gents, good on you Damien, thank you for watching. Also, Cess Vegan Pies, check out Cess Vegan, they do so many different home delivered foods. And all of them are fantastic. And one other sponsor is Sindian Natural Food Products, which you can get in Coles and I think in Woolies as well, and their products are 100% natural, and we love that they support the Vegan Hour. Thank you. So let's just have a quick look at some of the events coming up, and I'll try not to bore you too much with this, but you might find this interesting.
I'm liking it, mate. Yeah,
he's liking
news
it,
for me.
So tomorrow night at BKA Vegan is their bowling night, where you can get the bowl, beautiful vegan food in bowls for only $12 each. So I'm not sure if they're doing the Moussaka bowls this week, but you need to get down there and check it out, because and get in early, because the place gets packed, because it's really good value and it's fantastic food. And coming up this weekend, we have on Saturday at the Green Edge in Brisbane at 6 p.m, they have the Cruelty Free Cinema presenting the film Albatross. Also on Saturday, down the other end of the world at Byron Bay from noon to 3 p.m. at the Bodhi Farm Sanctuary, they have a barnside feast with the food provided by Elixir Bar, fully vegan restaurant in
Elixir Bar.
Yeah, you've been there?
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, you're talking.
Yeah, you're talking
my language.
It's food, Forget health, we're going to talk about food. And one final event coming up on Sunday, Death Row Unchained Animal Sanctuary is having their Sunday session where you can have food, meet the animals, listen to live music. That's from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. in Burbank in Brisbane. All right, that's the events out of the road, and I'll provide links to those events after tonight's live stream. Matt, thank you for watching, and thank you for everyone that's watching, and thank you for your comment there, Matt. Right, so if you missed the introduction, I have vegan doctor, Dr. Andrew Little. It's two doctors in there, isn't it?
Yeah, I get nervous when people call me doctor. Andrew's fine, but...
yes, I'm only going to be calling you Andrew.
Andrew's absolutely fine.
Andrew's, I'm very, very grateful that Andrew's come along tonight to talk about basically vegan health and your perspective as a professional, what you've experienced in your own personal journey, in, you know, the awakening for you.
Definitely an awakening.
And then, yeah. And then how that's reflected through in your profession and that, because I believe you're also connected with Doctors for Nutrition.
Yes, I'm a Queensland Ambassador for
Queensland
Doctors for Nutrition.
Ambassador. Yeah, okay, yep. So I'll get you to tell us a bit about that when we... a little later on.
Sounds
but
good,
I want to find out about your awakening. Okay, let's start. I always want to start off with how, you know, the awareness, how the compassion came through. So how did it come through for you? Tell us a bit about yourself.
So I grew up in the country to start with. I grew up in McLean, northern New South Wales, Scottish town of Australia.
Scottish, why do they call it that?
Oh, I don't know, it's a Scottish settlement or something. Okay, we've got a few Scottish things there. I grew up eating meat and veg, meat and three veg every night.
Yeah.
Dairy, everything. And you know, I was at a point when I went to uni, my first uni degree was physiotherapy. So I studied physiotherapy and exercise science.
Yeah.
And I was consuming probably about 6 litres of cow's milk a week.
I was eating anything.
Yeah. I was eating hot dogs for lunch. Yeah. I just thought exercise was the key to health.
And you're young, you feel invincible.
Yeah, you feel great, you don't care. You just, when are you going to go out and have a drink again? You know, that's what you think about, you know? And I honestly, Harry, I didn't give the planet a second thought.
Mm.
I didn't give the animals a second thought. And I didn't give, you know, my own health or nutrition a second thought. I just was pretty naive, I guess. Mm. And it wasn't until I met my beautiful wife and she really taught me how to question the consequences of my actions. And I specifically remember being out on our first date.
Yeah.
And I didn't really know much.
It started early, right?
It started early. She ordered a tofu stir fry. Was it a Chinese restaurant?
Now, Sarah was vegan already.
Sarah's vegan already. Yeah. She's been vegan since she was about 16, since the same age as you.
Fantastic. Yeah.
She's a smart girl. She's a lot smarter than me, mate, that's for sure. I genuinely mean that. She's a lot smarter than me. But so she ordered a tofu dish, and here I was, I ordered my chicken stir fry. And I said to her, I go, oh, you were vegetarian. And I didn't really know the word vegan at that stage. And she said, oh, actually, I don't eat any animal products. I'm a vegan. And I said, oh, why? Like, do you do it for animal cruelty? Do it for the planet? So that to me told me, I had a little hunch that I knew a little bit that it was cruel.
Yes.
And as the saying goes, if abattoirs had glass walls, everyone would be a vegan.
Yes.
And so I deep down knew that it was probably really, really cruel. And I said, and I'll be 100% honest, I said, I don't really want to know about it because it put me off my meat forever.
Interesting. So your first reaction
was that. Have you ever heard that before?
Yeah.
Have you ever heard that before?
Okay, so your first reaction was a defensive shutdown or put a wall up or something like that. I don't want to know about it.
Yeah, it wasn't so much. I was just like, I don't want to. It's more of a joke. And I didn't realise what the significance was behind it. But, and as if like I'm saying it's my meat. Like, it's not my meat. Like, what am I talking about? And so...
Isn't that funny, just interrupt you there, that people do that, say that. They say my meat.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it.
Do you think there's a psychological reason behind this?
100%. And we can go into the psychology of the human brain.
Yeah.
But it all is a very... It's a culture that's ingrained in our blood. And it's also... Meat is a very calorie-dense meal, which stimulates our reward pathway. It gives us a dopamine hit. And that makes us crave it. So if you believe in the theory of evolution, and I do, being a scientist, a species would have a higher chance or success rate if they had access to a calorie dense meal. So you get a dopamine, just like you get a dopamine release when you eat or you sleep or you exercise, things like that. Anything that's an encouraging behavior, you get a bit of a dopamine release in your brain. Drugs do it artificially, so you get that dopamine release, but food does it too. And that calorie, those high calories stimulate our reward pathway more than anything.
Okay.
So that's where people get this this craving for this addiction to it. And it's an addiction.
Yes. I'm glad to hear you say that.
It is an addiction. Yeah. Ice cream's an addiction. You know, people just go for it, you know? Yeah. It's sugar and food companies know that and they play on it. They fill our food with sugars.
Yeah.
But where were we?
So you're on your first date.
Yeah, so you're right, like, having that ownership. But my wife said to me, I said, she's very happy to call a spade a spade. And she's a very confident woman. And she said to me, and as politely as anything, she said, well, that's probably one of the most ignorant things I've heard.
I love the strength of your wife's comment there.
She was unreal, and you know what? And that was the first time that someone had challenged me on that issue, and I was like, I sort of said, you know what? You're 100%. First of all, I thought, good on you for just going and saying what you believe in, not just sort of going along with the crowd and swimming along in the tide of humanity, you know?
But also, good on you for hearing it.
Well, I couldn't help it, but, you know, she just seemed like such an intelligent woman, you know, and I said to her, I said, you know what, you're 100% right. What is it that you've seen that I haven't?
Instead of going,
when someone questions your morals and your morality, that is a very powerful thing, and that evokes a very strong emotional response for a lot of people.
Yes.
So what happens is it's when your morals are challenged, and your morals might be, you know, what your religion and all that sort of thing, what you think is right.
Yes.
People challenge you and they think you're being wrong, then that releases a flood of noradrenaline and adrenaline into our emotional center in our brain, into our amygdala, which is responsible for all that fear and anger.
Yes, that's right.
And that just stimulates this really angry sense of fight or flight. It's a sympathetic nervous system where people get very defensive, and they go into a survival mode.
Wow.
And so that's where you get the reaction a lot of time. And Sarah was so gentle about it, and so she's so rational. I can't argue with her because she's so rational. But she was so rational about it, and she said, well, look, if you really want to educate yourself, then you should watch Forks Over Knives.
Good.
And you should watch Earthlings.
Good. Yes, good.
Yeah, I think every yes. vegan's seen these. It's the staple. It's part of the awakening.
And so you did sit down and watch them?
I sat down and watched them.
Did you sit down and watch them with her or just by
myself? No, I sat down and watched them by myself. So I went home and I grabbed one of my flatmates and I sat down with him and we watched them. I watched Forks Over Knives by myself and then I watched Earthlings with him. I couldn't even stare at the TV with Earthlings. I was just in this cringing moment. I was like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. And from that moment on, I said to Sarah, well, I need to start making changes. And I was fascinated by this health side of things to the point where I was talking to all my friends about, you know, how meat is associated with certain cancers and things like that. And they were just like, whatever. But I specifically remember when the World Health Organization labeled meat, red meat, and as a carcinogen.
Yep.
And they all rang me like, oh my God, you were right.
why would they doubt you as a doctor in any case?
Well, they were doctors too. Oh. Yeah, so of course they doubt me. They were challenging me.
Yes, of course. Yes.
But yeah, and so, you know, I started to make changes every day. And probably the biggest thing for me was I started to understand that, first of all, it was better for your health.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, it was better for the animals. And then later on down the track, Cowspiracy, we've all seen it.
Mm.
I started to realize how much better it was for the planet.
Yeah.
But the one thing that really...
there's a sign about to fall down. It's happened a couple of episodes back.
what was I saying? I can't even remember now.
Cowspiracy.
I watched Cowspiracy and realized that it was better for the planet. But the one thing that really encouraged me to keep pursuing this was I got to the point where I was vegetarian and I sort of evolved to that point pretty quickly. And I think a lot of people do.
Mm-hmm.
And then cheese, you know, it's hard, you know.
Queso-morphine, isn't it?
It's an addiction as well. An addiction.
Yeah.
And so I was eating cheese and I knew that it was bad. I knew, and I kept trying to get myself off it. And you know, it was probably, I was had a little bit of a weak mind, I guess, you know. I was like, well, and then I watched What the Health, and that was the moment when I went, righto, I'm going to give vegan a crack.
Oh, good.
And I just went, boom, cold turkey.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going vegan.
Cold tofurkey.
Cold tofurkey, yeah, cold tofurkey. Cold alive turkey. So here's the health problems that I had when I was, and you said it before, a lot of people, you don't realize the health problems people have and things like that, and you don't really understand. But the health problems I was having was, first of all, as a young boy, I had really large mouth ulcers, so aphthous ulcers, which were huge craters in my mouth, to the point where I'd have maybe four or five of them, and they're incredibly painful.
Ooh.
I used to get blood results, blood tests done all the time because they're looking for, you know, if I was immunosuppressed, whether I had some sort of blood cancers, things like that.
Right.
It's a sign of immunosuppression. A lot of people get ulcers, but I was getting really, I saw Benny there.
Yeah, Benny's there. We're getting a few nice comments in there. Julie says she's really enjoying the talk.
Oh, good.
And Terry says, hi, beautiful human, much love from Tassie.
I believe the beautiful human's you, mate. So.
I think we're both there.
So these ulcers, and I was getting blood tests after blood tests, and they just put it down. They said, oh, you got this autoimmune condition. And mate, I had like bottles of Listerine under my cupboard.
Listerine,
because I thought I thought they were bacterial.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, I'd use the Listerine to get rid of them. But when I got to med school, one of my mates said to me, why don't you try putting cortisone on them, cortisone cream?
Yeah.
And I was like, right, I'll put this cortisone cream on them. All of a sudden, they just go away overnight. And I was like, wow, that was amazing. Mm. So they're all inflammatory, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The next thing I suffered from was I had this really bad rash on my elbows. I was getting these red welts to the point where they were so inflamed, I'd scratch them and they'd bleed. My brother has it so bad on his elbows that I sent photos to dermatologists. I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
I was prescribing us both the highest dose cortisone cream I could find.
Right.
And I was putting on it. It was keeping mine at bay, but his was rampant. And it was interesting because it was in the family.
Yeah.
So, and then the other thing I had was I suffered from bad eczema. And the flexor creases of my elbows, where eczema is quite prevalent, and on the tops of my eyelids, I get it every winter. I'm putting cortisone cream on that. Yeah. So I'm putting cortisone cream on my mouth, I'm putting cortisone cream here, I'm putting cortisone cream on my elbows. And the big thing for me, the really big thing, was at about the age of 25, I used to go out and drink, you know, as at uni, in my physio degree, whatever, I'd go out and drink, talk, and I could talk all night, and mate, I could talk someone's ear off. I could literally talk to a brick wall.
You should give lectures.
Yeah.
I hope you do.
I do sometimes. I enjoy it. I don't need to shut up. That's the trouble. But I ended up getting to a point at about the age of 25 when I just started losing my voice. And it just came instantly. And I'd just go out and I'd lose my voice. And then for the next day and the next week, I'd sound like Darren Lockyer. Like, I'd literally have no voice. And it is a really hard... There might be some people out there who understand, but people who haven't lost their voice, it's really quite socially debilitating. You can't communicate. You're kind of like, and you're straining so hard to talk, and to the point where I'm getting really bad headaches. Yeah. And so I started avoiding social situations. Right. I stopped drinking. I went and saw a speech pathologist who gave me all these vocal exercises to do, which did nothing. And then I went and saw an ENT surgeon, an ear, nose and throat surgeon, who did a laryngoscopy. So they stick a camera down the back of your throat and they have a look at your vocal cords. And they were chronically inflamed, red. There's a bit of a pattern developing here.
Yes,
there certainly is. So what did I go on? I went on prednisone, which is a steroid. So I went on a dose of prednisone for about 4 days just to settle it down.
Yeah, yeah.
And it did nothing. But what it did was it gave me some solar keratosis on my lips. So when you suppress your immune system, you can get skin cancer. So we see this in people who are on chemotherapy.
Right.
We see the skin cancer start to come out and things like that. Okay. So an actinic keratosis is only a very... it's a pre-malignant lesion. It's a very benign condition, but I've had about 3 or 4 of them cut off, and it all came around that time I was taking that prednisone because I was immunosuppressing myself.
Right.
And I was doing it systemically this time because I was taking it orally rather than rubbing it on my hands.
Right. Yes.
And as soon as I went vegan, and you know, people will say
this is the important bit, folks.
People will say this is probably ridiculous, but I believe it with my whole heart that within about 2 weeks things started changing.
Yeah.
And it was incredible. My elbows started clearing up.
Yeah.
I haven't seen my eczema in 2 years, 3 years almost. My ulcers, so that was the biggest thing for me. I hadn't seen an ulcer it was about sort of a month in. And I said to my wife, I said, "Babe, I haven't seen an ulcer. I haven't had an ulcer. I haven't used Listerine in 2 years. I might get like an odd issue when I bite my lip or something, but I don't get these spontaneous eruptions. And then I went out, we had a boys' trip about 2 or 3 months ago. We had a punters club and we all just went out and we started drinking at 6, we were all in bed by 10. But I literally would drink and I was talking 3 nights in a row and I did not even lose my voice. It was strong as ever. And I couldn't believe it. That was so important for me. And for me, like, that was enough, you know. And then I started looking into the health and I just started reading and reading and reading. And it was just an avalanche of medical papers that just show how healthy a plant-based diet can be. And it all made sense to me. And I think... you know, if the only thing I can get people to take away is just to give it a go. Just give it a crack.
Yes.
Don't take my word for it.
Yes.
Don't take the research. There's a lot of jargon out there. Just give it a crack and see how you feel. After that, as a plant-based diet now, on my plant-based diet, I've run 100 Ks. I was running 10 Ks in about 36 and a half minutes. Which is I was absolutely flying.
That's moving.
We did a 100K run. We raised $305,000 for melanoma for the Royal Brisbane Children's, and we did a big run. We ran 100Ks. I was second fastest runner in that group.
Fantastic.
All on a vegan diet, and the guy who was faster than me was quite a professional runner. He'd done a lot. This is only in 6 months training, you know, and he'd done a lot more running than me. So. And
everyone just signed. It's slowly going. I'm just waiting for the big fall. It provides an extra dimension to tonight's vegan hour.
I think it's staying.
Anyway. So you were second. You came second.
I came. I was second fastest runner in this group. But that wasn't the point. The point for me was. I was capable of pushing my body to that limit, doing 100K runs, running 10K in about 36 and a half minutes. And I was feeling great. My recovery was fantastic. I didn't lose any muscle. I was still bench pressing the same, still squatting the same in the gym. I was just like, I've never felt so good. And I've seen that through some close family members of mine too. They've got had some really good results from a vegan diet as well. So.
So you've got family members that have made the transition as well.
My wife's from Mount Isa. This is where it gets amazing.
That's got to be an anti-vegan place, isn't it?
Mate, try being vegan out there. You know, if you think it's tough on the Gold Coast, it's next level.
And it's not tough on the Gold Coast. The biggest problem we have here is our signs falling off.
Yeah, that's about the only hardship we have.
That's the only hardship.
But my wife's family were obviously avid carnivores too. My mother-in-law, she suffered from horrendous migraines to the point where she was unconscious for like 8 hours. She was asleep. She wasn't physically out. Could wake her up. She was literally, these migraines were horrendous, and to the point where I'd never even really, I just thought a migraine was a strong headache. But there, she was really bad. Went vegan, completely gone. Hasn't seen one in 2 years.
Fantastic.
And some other close relatives that I know literally have had issues with male impotence.
Yes, right, yeah.
As in couldn't do anything, but starting to have trouble. Went on a complete vegan diet. And said to me the other day, it feels like he's a teenager again. And I was like, that really blew my mind, because I can show you evidence where it opens up arteries in the heart. I can show you, and it opens up arteries. Imagine what it's doing to the vessels in the heart. It's doing the same thing to the vessels down there. That's all just blood vessels. And the vessels in the brain, it's just...
And from what I've heard, I think it was one of the documentaries I was watching last year or something, that was saying that that is a way of telling...
It's a sign of coronary artery disease.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's the first thing men start to realise.
That's right. Once you're starting having problems downstairs, that's because your vessels are smaller there or something, and that's compared to your heart.
Exactly. Definitely.
So it'll show up there first.
That's a scary thing. He also had incredible pain in his shoulder to the point where when I was a physio, I suggested you go get an ultrasound. He had an ultrasound. He had all these calcium deposits all through his shoulder, lifting and things like that. And he couldn't sleep on his arm at night. He was having all this horrendous pain.
Yeah.
Vegan diet, same time, it all went away.
Yeah.
My uncle-in-law just recently got diagnosed with prostate cancer.
Oh, yeah.
And he rang me up and he said, Andy, I've been diagnosed with prostate cancer, and they told me I've got 5 years to live. Wow. And I was like, holy, I said, all right. I said, so this is what you're going to do.
Yeah.
And I said, you're probably not going to believe a lot of the stuff I'm going to say, but I can tell you right now, it is absolutely true. And for me, I put him onto a plant-based diet, into a whole foods plant-based diet.
Yeah.
For me to put a family member that I love on to that diet when it's his life at risk, I had to have ultimate faith in it.
Right.
So,
of course,
for me to bring up my kid on a plant-based diet, I had to have ultimate faith in it.
Yes.
The things I have read and the things I have seen, I personally feel that it is the healthiest diet. And there are people out there that will debate that, and they'll debate that very strongly.
There are people that will debate that black is white.
There are people that will say the earth's flat.
Exactly. You know? Yes, exactly. Yeah. I should do a show on that. Let's not get started on that, please.
But it's true, you know, I was just blown away by these results. And
what surprises me is that you, as a doctor, weren't more aware of it in your prior to this. You might have been aware that you were not doing the right thing from a sort of a compassionate level, but from a medical level, that you weren't aware of it until you went and researched it and found the research to back it up.
100%.
It's a little bit scary that as a doctor you weren't aware of it.
Oh, mate.
How does that come about? Is that because the training just doesn't... You know, the training that you've done, the study that you've done previously, just didn't include those areas, or
zero?
Zero.
Absolutely zero.
Zero on nutrition?
No training in nutrition whatsoever.
Right.
Okay. And so as a doctor and at the hospital, we are trained to treat disease.
Mm-hmm.
We treat disease to the best of our knowledge, and we have the mountain of science to back up how we treat disease, but we aren't promoting health.
Yes.
And that's the thing, and that's that's the difference. You know, I am a specialist in disease. As an anaesthetist, you know, I see it every day, and like every day I go to work, I just, all I see is just people with disease. Some of it, like, and a lot of it is preventable. I can't give you a stat, but a lot of it's preventable.
That's really sad, isn't it?
It is. And you said it before, and we were talking about it, but you don't, people don't walk around with a label on their head saying, I've got this cancer, I've got that cancer. You walk past someone in the street, you'd have no idea what they're suffering, and I see the people suffering, and I see the looks on their faces, and it's definitely hard, and I think there's a lot of lifestyle change, and it's not just diet, it's everything. We can change so much.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. So you must feel much more empowered in your profession now, because you can actually, you know, you can make a change in a way that's health empowering rather than just preventing disease sort of thing, you know?
Yeah, I wish I could make more of a difference.
Well, you have good plans heading in that direction, which we may talk about later.
I have big plans. My wife and I have spoken about it. My passion for disease is slowly fading, but my passion for health is just astronomical.
And it's completely understandable, because you've shifted from somebody that was just trained to prevent disease, to somebody whose mind has shifted into how do we allow people to be healthy in the first place?
Yeah,
you know, give them the information and that to make the right decision, so that we don't get to the point of having to prevent disease.
Oh, and there's so many people. If I had seen them 10 years before and they had taken my advice, I wouldn't be seeing them right now. And that's the hardest thing to swallow for me. Personally, there's times where I feel like I'm a highly trained technician for the pharmaceutical industry, and
again, this is an area that I've spoken about a number of times. It's come up during different episodes of the Vegan Hour, you know, about vested interests in relation to the medical profession, and how you've got your reps coming in and pushing certain drugs and whatever, you know, in return for whatever they're offering, whether it's a holiday or a computer or whatever. Is that something you
I can elaborate on that. That was definitely back in the day. GPs, you know, it's so heavily cracked down on now.
Okay, so that has changed in
You can't even get pens as a a drug company can't even bring pens in, and so the thing is, for me, I don't personally feel like the drug companies are influencing me. I just feel like, you know, the drug companies are happy if you're sick. A drug company doesn't want you dead, and they don't want you healthy. They want you in between, because that's when you're on their medication. So that's, and when I say, you know, you feel like a technician for the pharmaceutical, that's what I mean. It's like, I'm just giving all these people all these medications, or, you know, that they definitely could do without, like, you know, insulin we can get. I see all the time people saying, well, look, there's a new treatment for type 2 diabetes, and I'm like, hello, I know a cure.
That's right.
I know a cure. Right. Like,
yes, we can, I know a cure that can reverse it.
And you don't have to stick yourself with a needle every time.
Just talking about that, you know, people sticking themselves with a needle and all that, there's some sort of, see if I can word this right, there's almost like a reward in a negative way when people's lifestyle becomes their norm. It's like, I'm sick, this is what I do, this is my life. Do you understand where I'm going with this?
I do, and it's an ownership. People own their
conditions.
You know
how, like, for instance, with elderly people, they're like, oh, we're off to the doctor today, and we're off to the specialist tomorrow, and we're off to, gives them something to do.
100%.
There's almost like, oh, these people are interested in me and they care for me, and, you know, so they're getting some sort of connection there as well, maybe.
Completely,
you know?
Agree with
it's,
you.
It's not healthy, but it's something, you know.
And it's so true. I don't know what that is, but it's definitely, people own their conditions. Like, they'll say, my diabetes, you know, they'll own it, and it becomes a sense of identity.
You said it well. It's a sense of identity. And even if you come along and say, hey, I know how to stop your diabetes, right? If they've had that sense of identity for quite a period of time.
You're taking it away from them.
Yeah, yeah. It's almost like, no, I don't want to lose it. This is who I am.
Yeah.
I jab myself every day, or how many times I have to do it, you know. So you could be giving them the solution, and you're meeting resistance.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's I don't know if it's resistance to, you know, not wanting to be free of the disease, or if it's more just, it's really hard to get people to make changes. It's really hard. Yes.
Even when it's to benefit their health, to give them a better quality of life.
100%, 100%. Yeah. And I think it's just, I don't know how to do it. I've spoken to people in clinics and I don't get to follow them up. As an anaesthetist, I see them preoperatively and then I don't get to follow them up.
Yeah.
I have heard of stories down the line where people have sort of taken on my advice and actually gone plant-based and things. I haven't had enough experience in that field of medicine and facilitating change. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where GPs come in.
Mm.
And I think a lot of education, I'd really like to go into that path.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, I guess it's harder there, but you know, I've just got my final exam coming up soon for anaesthetics. So I'm committed to that at the moment. That's my main concentration. It's certainly hard, but I think there's a number of things, and everyone has their own personal reason for just reducing their meat intake or going vegan. And I think I personally just start to encourage people even if they just start decreasing their meat intake, it's encouraging. Mm-hmm. I can see why as vegans we're very passionate, because we see it, you know, and it's an awakening. You said it before. I'd make a joke about it all the time. My wife is Morpheus from The Matrix. She gave me the blue pill or whatever, and pulls you out of Matrix.
Yes.
The Matrix is a very interesting comparison.
The Matrix is a documentary. The movie The Matrix is, I've come to realize, a documentary.
Lebowski sisters or something?
Brothers. I'm not sure
if that's the name.
But while we're talking about The Matrix, they actually, as a bit of trivia, they based it on an ancient spiritual text.
Yeah,
that's that's where it came from. So it's actually got a basis in spirituality, and then they've modernized it as a modern story. So there is a very big depth to it, and it really is a commentary on how we're in a world of illusion.
Humanity. Yeah, we are, and it's fed by media. But you know, and I think you just need to. Certain people have certain things they'll resonate with, and it's very hard for me as a physician to win an argument when we're talking about what's the healthiest diet. It's not impossible, but there's a lot of data out there that creates doubt, and all you need is an element of doubt.
I was going to ask you about that.
People just shut down on that.
Yeah.
There's interesting ways, and we could talk about the ways in which some of these studies have created doubt and things like that, and how deceptive it is.
Mm.
But the one thing for me that is just so undoubtable, and if you just cannot deny it, is the destruction of this planet.
Oh, yes.
The destruction of our oceans.
Yes.
You know, species extinction, ocean dead zones, antibiotic use. As a medical professional, we are taught that we need to spare and reserve our precious antibiotics, because we are facing an antibiotic-resistant epidemic. We are on the edge of an abyss when it comes to antibiotic resistance.
Yeah.
And the number one cause, like FDA say, that about approximately 80% of antibiotics all go to livestock. And it's stats like that makes me think, well, why are we still doing, how are we allowing this? You know, we have teams in the hospital, infectious disease teams, who go around, who regulate those antibiotics and go, no, they shouldn't be on that. They should be off in 5 days, or no, they're on the wrong one. We need to target it specifically for that.
Right.
Their whole job is that. And you know, people, we all turn a blind eye to it. I couldn't turn a blind eye to it anymore. And because, you know, my little boy is going to grow up one day. He's going to look me in the eye and he's going to say, why is our planet in such bad shape? And I'm going to put my hand on my heart and say, I did everything I could. You know, I want to be able to look him straight back in the eye and say, I did everything I could.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah,
Did you think about, you know, so how old are you?
He's 15 months now.
15 months, okay.
Yeah.
Did you think about, before he came into the world, did you think about the world that he's coming into?
Yeah.
Yes.
He, He is,
what was the word you used to describe him when we were first chatting before the live stream? It was a really good description.
He's a weapon.
He's a weapon.
He's a little weapon. He's a little weapon.
Could you get him in here to fix this sign?
He'd probably just come and pull it off and take it out.
Well, it's going to do it.
I worried. There is so much beautiful stuff in this world.
Oh, yes.
There is.
And we're doing our best, sadly, to ruin it.
We are. There's no planet B.
Exactly.
We spend all this money on researching how we're going to go and live on Mars when I just have the most perfect home here. The Gold Coast, it's beautiful beaches.
It is.
I just want Harry to be able to enjoy that. Harry's my little guy too. I want you to enjoy it too.
You named him well.
Yeah, he's a Harrison.
He's a Harrison, yeah.
But he, I want him, I traveled a lot. I went to Iguazu Falls and to, the Grand Canyon and all these beautiful places that I've been to, Patagonia and South Africa. I've been to Kruger and all these beautiful places. And one of my main highlights was seeing the silverback gorillas in Burundi impenetrable forest in the Congo jungle, which is just being wiped out. And I want my little boy to have those opportunities to go and see them. There's 800 of them left in the wild, and it's getting wiped out. The number one cause is animal agriculture.
It comes down to what you said earlier, taste addiction.
Yeah, it is. And that's that dopamine release.
Yep.
Every time you get it, there's a physiological reason for it. And the reason I looked into this so much was because, when you throw in, we talked about the health and the environment, when you throw in the cruelty side to it too, it makes a very compelling argument to following a plant-based diet. But, It's just hard to get people to resonate with them, and I had to question why, when people are sort of confronted with all this information, how do you turn a blind eye? I couldn't do it. I wasn't an angel. I wasn't like just vegan overnight. My wife was. She just went.
Yeah. I'm pretty convinced from the way you've described that she is an angel.
She's an angel. mate, she saved my life. She's amazing.
And I love that she did. I mean, I wanted to say it earlier, but I love the fact that you embraced her cleverness or her wisdom or her power. In other words, what I'm trying to say is when a man is not so full of himself...
I know, isn't
it? Yeah. That he can see the power of his woman and he can learn from her and he can take that on board. You can have the most beautiful connection. I love that you have that in you because I've met too many men that are just like, I'm a man, and they don't see anything outside of themselves.
Yeah.
And that I'm a man is so insecure and so easily, you just say something slightly off and they're so... they can't handle it. It's just like, it's really ironic how fragile the I'm a man false ego is. It's like, mate, I'll throw a little stone at you and you're like, you can't handle it. You get angry and you have that emotional balance and that intelligence to realize when somebody's come to you and they've come to you in a compassionate way and they're expressing themselves and you're like, wow, what can I learn from this person? This person's carrying some wisdom and compassion and it's igniting the areas in myself that are there as well.
So completely agree.
Kudos to you for doing that. If more men did this, we would have, we wouldn't have domestic violence. We would have fantastic relationships. Yep. I know we've got a little bit off topic there.
It's important.
It is very important. It's very, because statistics in that area are shocking.
Yeah.
And it all comes down,
and this is the thing, Harry, it's compassion. And I believe that deep down that all humans are compassionate. Not one other species shares the same level of compassion as us. It's a pillar of morality, our morals.
Yes.
Compassion is such a thing. If you were driving along, every single person, if you were driving along a highway and you saw a mother duck going along the road with a whole heap of ducklings, everyone would swerve.
Yes.
No one would run them over. Yeah. And I can tell you a lot of really interesting experiments about morality, which we probably won't have time for tonight.
I'm actually very curious about them.
Well, this is... There's a question here
I want to get to, Ray. I'll get to your question in a second, but
Great question.
Okay. We're going to need more than an hour tonight. Yeah. The sign still hasn't fallen down, I'm impressed. But these things about morality, these, yep. these what do they test, how did you describe them there?
So the test of morality, or, yeah. So here's the test, we'll do yeah. it, we'll do it. Yeah. You. So you're in this tower and there's a train track running along.
Oh,
have you heard this one?
Yes.
You know this one?
Yes.
Yeah. Well,
not only do I know that, yeah. but that was, it's called the trolley... The trolley experiment, I think it is, where you have the choice of whether you direct it to line A or line B. Is that the one?
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So now they've actually that was only a theoretical.
Yeah.
However, in the last year or two, they've done the practical version of it.
Yeah.
And I watched the video just recently.
Oh,
and it was brilliant. They did the practical. They did an elaborate setup where the person was convinced.
That
they, yes, and they were watching. They were watching the video cameras of the people standing on the line,
yeah.
and they had to make a choice. There was one person on one line. There were five on the other. They had to make the choice. I think there were four on the other. And they had to choose which track do they put. And they put six people, I think, through this test.
Yeah.
The first person chose the track with only one person on it. He was only going to allow one person to be killed.
Yeah.
The other five all could not. Do anything, they froze basically.
They froze, really.
They froze, yeah.
And
it was, yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah.
So that was the trolley experiment, which originally was theorized in the 60s, I think. That was it done only a year or two ago as an actual, done like almost as real life as you can do without endangering people.
It's
a fascinating experiment. It's a morality test.
100%. Yes. And it is a test of our morality. And then, like we said before, when someone challenges your morality, you get a flood of that adrenaline in your your emotional center in your brain.
And you defend.
You get defensive.
You defend the things that you identify as being 100%. Yours, even if they're unhealthy. Right?
Yeah. No one wants to go home and look at themselves in the mirror and feel like a bad person.
Right.
And purely by, you know, there's times where I even just, I go out and I order a vegan meal.
Yeah.
The person next to me thinks that I'm, and I'm like, you know.
I haven't said anything.
Yeah.
But they've actually taken a guilty conscience hit on it or whatever.
It's the whole thing is, you know, everyone always says, oh, you know, how do you know someone's vegan? Don't worry, they'll tell you. It's like, no, I don't think that's the case. See, it's like, they'll tell me.
See, I find that interesting that if you could, just by you ordering a vegan meal, that the person nearby is offended and you haven't even interacted with them, right?
Yeah.
That level of guilt that they are carrying means that that person is never in a state of peace, ease with themselves or whatever, because they know in the back of their mind that they're not following their compassionate drive, and that they've decided somewhere when they were younger or whatever to push back that little voice saying to them, hey, you know, you shouldn't be eating this, this is wrong. And they've had to live their whole life not being authentic.
Yeah.
That's a terrible way to live your life.
I'll tell you, so when I first started going down this vegetarian pathway in its very early days, I remember a very specific time in my wife's and my relationship, and I was in the kitchen and I was cooking up a beef lasagna. So that was everything I could, and I'd seen Earthlings by this stage, so I was starting to change. I was on my transition, right?
Okay, yeah.
And she sort of came up behind me. She said, oh, hey, babe, what are you cooking? And I was like, oh, you know, nothing. And I was just sort of, and I could feel it in me. I could feel myself, and I was like, she's judging me, you know? And that's those feelings that you get that are irrational, incredibly irrational.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I'm not embarrassed by them. I just think this is normal, you know? This is exactly what happens.
Yeah.
But it's like, and I said to her, I sort of snapped at her, and I said, oh, why? Like, why are you judging me? You know, why are you? And she goes, whoa. She goes, that's your own shit right there. You need to own it.
She's brilliant.
And she walked off, and I was like,
damn, she's brilliant.
She goes, that's your own guilt playing in your mind. And I was like, it is. It was my own guilt.
You were judging yourself.
100%.
Yeah.
And I cannot sort of emphasize that anymore. It's so true. And you nailed it. I've never felt more fulfilled in my life from the way I live my life. I think about plastics, I think about the environment, I think about the food I eat, I think about, I ride to work, and, you know, I get the train to Brisbane at the moment, I'm at the kids' hospital, when I'm at home, I ride to work, and there's so many good choices I make, and every day I make those choices, I feel so empowered, and I feel so good about it. I don't sit there, a lot of people kind of go, when they first start, they're like, oh, you know, I have to do this and I have to change that.
Yeah.
As soon as you start doing it, it becomes such a good feeling. It's such positive reinforcement. Yeah.
I love it.
I love it too.
Should we address Ray has asked Dr. Andrew, what are your thoughts on vaccines?
Put me in on the spot here, right? This is a very interesting question. So, Ray, is it? Yeah, Ray. My wife asked me this same question, and I have to say this, that I think that it's very common for people who follow a vegan diet to question things, because we question things.
Yeah.
And so I think, first of all, your question shows a level of intelligence. I think that asking these questions, and not just, like I always say, drifting along on the tide of humanity, you know, and just going, yep, you've got to get this and you've got to get that. It's very important to question everything. And we vaccinated our little guy recently, and it was a big question for us, and it really sort of was on my wife's mind a lot. Now, I looked into this a lot. There's a lot of doctors, and there's a big movement of a few certain doctors that are starting to show that vaccines aren't really are unsafe in our modern era.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason they say this, a lot of the graphs that you'll see show. Oh, sorry. All right. The drug came in about here, but the deaths were going down.
That's
well
right.
Before the drug came in, right?
That's right. Yes. And they often doctor that graph.
Yeah.
So that your starting point is like, oh, look, the vaccine made it drop off. It's like, hang on, let's go pre-vaccine.
Yeah, yeah.
And as you say, they were
declining before.
Declining.
And,
yes.
and they speculate. You can only speculate, but
yeah, yeah.
We have better sensitization. We have better access to healthcare.
Yeah.
We have all these sorts of things. You know, but if you look at, if you change the graph data around, and if you look at the rates of, say, measles or whooping cough, and you have a look, there's a very specific trend when the vaccine comes in, the rates drop right off.
Okay. Yeah.
So here's my bottom line. I had to look at all this. Okay?
Yeah.
I had to vaccinate my kids.
Yes.
It was a big question for me.
Yes.
And a good question, right?
Yeah.
I genuinely think that vaccines definitely do what they do, okay? And the question is, are they safe in our modern society? Well, it's hard to answer that question because there's such low rates of these cases now, such low rates of measles and things like that.
Mm.
So, you know, if one kid's not vaccinated, then it's probably absolutely safe going around.
Mm.
Do they have side effects? Well, yes, they do. Yeah, we know they have side effects. We know there's allergies, we know there's things. There's side effects to, you know, you can die driving a car. There's side effects to mobile phones.
That's true.
There's side effects to everything.
Yeah.
So, you know, look, I really won't, Ray, I'm sorry, I'll have to sit on the fence because I can't give you any proper medical advice. And I'm happy to talk about this at any time. But my personal opinion is I think that vaccines do their job. But is it safer to not vaccinate in our modern society? Well, I don't think you'll ever find the answer to that because, you know, we you know, there's so many things that can lead to, they associate vaccines with all these, I've seen these doctors, they go, oh, these vaccines are associated with this autoimmune condition, this autoimmune condition, and this, and all that. When I can show you that eating a certain diet is associated with that condition,
exactly
condition.
Right.
So,
yes. Yeah.
Causation is such a hard thing.
It is.
But
it is.
But my personal belief is, Ray, and you know, anyone, it's your choice. I'm not here to influence, but I vaccinated my kid. And I think it's important to question, and I think that's the bottom line. It is important to question. Does that answer your question?
I think that was really good. I want to ask you, I want to ask our audience, who has OCD and can't stand this sign being like this?
Someone's probably,
I've got to do this, guys. Can we even get a hand?
I'm
going to
ask for a hand. I'll give you a hand.
Just
stick it on.
Can we get through the last 10 minutes? That's what I want to know. Can we do it? Okay, thank you, Major. So, you're the Queensland representative for Doctors for Nutrition.
I met an amazing person by Lucy Stegley. what's your race over?
Race, I wouldn't vaccinate a dog. Actually, neither would I, but that's...
I don't have a dog, so... Yeah,
that's why I wouldn't either, but yeah. I have a cat.
Look, I understand people's... Yeah. I understand people's distrust, you know, because there's been a lot of things in my life that I've really had the rug swept out from underneath my feet. You know, like I said, the Matrix, it's... Mm. I understand the distrust, and I understand the distrust in the medical system. Yeah.
Like you said earlier, it's good to question.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting. I just want to throw in my half a cent worth.
Yeah.
That there's so many sides to a story.
Yeah, there is.
And a person can be sincere and can be really doing an amazing job of creating awareness of, hey, this may not be good, right?
Yeah.
But a person can also be sincerely wrong or can be sincerely unaware of all the factors involved.
Yeah.
And it's just time and time again, I've been convinced that something is a certain way, and then I've been able to see it from a different angle.
Yeah.
I've just been given a new vision somehow or other, and I've seen a different side of the story. I've believed one person's side of the story, and I've heard somebody else's, or I've seen different facts or something like that. And I've gone, wow.
Yeah, it's like
I wasn't aware of that. So because I wasn't aware of that, the decision I made was based on the information I had, which is all you can really do, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know? And when I had more information, I went, well, hang on, that just changes things. So now I don't believe what I believed before. And that's actually sums up your journey as where you are now as a vegan doctor.
Yeah.
Is that I think you said when you know. You do what the best you can with what you know.
Yeah.
And when you know better, you do better.
Yeah. You do the best you can until you know better. Then when you know better, you do better.
Yes.
That's a quote my wife gave me again. She's a smart cookie.
Next time I want to interview her.
Bring her on, mate. She might even be listening, I'll tell you.
I hope you're watching, Sarah.
I think the thing is too, like we need to have like when I said before, I understand the distrust in the medical system, but I do have ultimate trust in there, and I know we are doing the best we can in our hospitals to treat disease. We treat disease to the best of our ability, and we have the best resources, and we do save lives at times. You know, there's people, you know, a vegan diet isn't going to help you know, after you've had a car crash. And Benny said that, and I love it, you know, Benny Walker. But
having had several accidents myself, I would attribute my quick recovery to being on a vegan diet, and because having had, having broken a knee, broken a wrist, fractured an ankle, yes, I'm accident prone, but having done a few things like that, and having then had physiotherapists go, wow, you're recovering well, and I've straight out gone, yeah, that's because I'm vegan, you know.
straight up,
you know, because I mean, really, to the point where the last time I fractured, had an accident last year, I think it was, I've lost track of time now, when I fractured my ankle, and the physiotherapist, when I went in there, sat there and looked and went, when did you do this? And he looked at the x-ray and I said, oh, I did this a week, 2 ago, and he's going, amazing. He said, show me how you're walking again, and I'm walking around, he's going, that's amazing. I said, mate, I'm vegan. You shouldn't be surprised.
He was
just blown away. He almost brought somebody else in to check out. He's like, I can't believe that you're walking around the way you are have broken your ankle almost all the way through, ripped the tendons on one side, and you're walking around like there's not a problem.
And where did you get all your calcium and protein?
That's right.
When I sort of say, you know, like I'm at the kids' hospital now, and I can see a lot of genetic things where I see, you know, some sad things, and I can see there's a huge role for our medical system. But there are downfalls to it, and so, you know, it's hard for me, obviously.
Because when you say it's hard, because you're working within
I'm working within. There's times where I can be like, oh my God, we really need to do this. A lot of times we do it, and we do it really well, and we do it to the best of our ability. But there's also times where I'm like, oh man, like this, he wouldn't need to be here, or she wouldn't need to be here if she had followed a vegan diet, or, you know, not just a vegan diet, but everything, you know, it's really hard to say, well, you know, this is what's caused, made all your health? So it is a tough question. What have we got? What have we got here?
Well, Lydia's got a question there, and I'm aware of time because we've only got about six minutes left. I don't want to question anything. I'm vegan for the terrible cruelty to animals. Excellent, Lydia. I need help getting baby cow's milk out of the hospitals. I've worked for Queensland Health for 10 years and have always bought my own in. I want Queensland Health to get on board.
Oh, great one. So I'm at the Queensland Children's Hospital at the moment, and
in Brisbane?
They've got soy milk and in the cupboard. And it's the first hospital I've ever worked in, they do.
Mm.
And they have this sign on the fridge saying, "Don't forget the soy milk." I'm just like, yes.
Who put that on there? Probably another vegan, maybe.
I don't know.
Okay, so that's encouraging.
Yeah. Look, I think the world is starting to change, and I think that's the take home message, is that we are making progress. I understand that, you know, I often get frustrated too, because I always say to my wife, like, the time for baby steps was a long time ago. We need to really start stepping things up now and really giving it a crack.
Yeah.
And I've often learned the hard way that if you are too forceful on people, they will just shut down straight away. They get so reserved, and I think we all know that. But I'd always try and be very gentle in my approach, but there's little things that we can change, and I think little changes like that, like, it must be amazing for you to see from how long ago to where you are now. Like, you could tell the whole audience how the big change. Like, I can only imagine that, you know. So we really are moving forward. And the plant-based movement was one of the biggest movements in 2018 and 2019.
That's right.
A lot of my medical mates who really question me are now starting to, you know, I know a lot of my mates who are almost predominantly plant-based now.
That's awesome. So I'm like, they've come on board.
And they all.
Dr. Kim Williams?
I did talk with him a little while ago.
Now, what's his famous line? He said, there are two types of...
Oh yeah, two types of cardiologists. Yes. There's those vegans and those who haven't read the data.
And I love that because his actual position is he's the head of
Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine.
Oh yes,
he's part of the physicians.
Dr. Neil Barnard's.
He's a member of that. He's also heavily involved in DFN, Doctors for Nutrition.
Okay. So and I wanted to mention before we run out of time you're with Doctors for Nutrition.
Yeah.
For Queensland representative.
Yeah, Queensland representative. Yeah.
So what is Doctors for Nutrition? Is that Australia or worldwide?
It's just Australian wide at the moment, as far as what I can imagine. So Lucy, fantastic.
Lucy Stegley.
Stegley. Yeah. I met her through a few talks I did for her, and she then created this beautiful foundation that really starts to look at implementing nutrition in medical training. I think it's important because we need to start looking at health and not just disease anymore. Like we look at disease a lot, you know, we should also look at how we're promoting health. And the biggest thing is, you know, our leaders of this world, our government are starting to let us down, because, you know, and as doctors are the leaders in health, then we need to take a leadership role in the health of ourselves and the health of our planet.
Yes.
Because for 1 second that our health is not intricately and delicately related to the health of this planet, and we're completely misled.
Yeah, it's all interrelated, isn't it?
It is. You know, my little boy is not going to be, it doesn't matter how healthy he is, on a decimated planet, you know? So,
well said.
And that's the reality. Yeah. And so whether a vegan diet is the healthiest or not, I feel strongly it is.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's an irrelevant question nowadays, because the question is, what sort of a world do we want to leave behind for the next generation? And that's the most important part, you know. And that's the thing, like, you know, I don't mind if someone wants to smoke, and if it gives them lung cancer, I'll educate them.
Mm.
It's not affecting me.
Yeah.
But animal agriculture is really affecting me and the future of my little boy. Yeah. And that's why I think vegans are vocal, because always say, I've got the right to do whatever. It's like, well, if your choices are affecting me.
The interesting thing with vegans is that they're fighting for something that's not selfish. They're fighting for the animals and the flow and effect of what animal agriculture has done. Right. So it's a selfless act what vegans are doing, whereas somebody that's, I'll say, pre-vegan or non-vegan is actually fighting for their taste buds. And it's like, so really that's, you know, that's quite selfish, versus a vegan saying, hey, I'm not being selfish at all. I'm trying to help everyone, you know, the animals and our health and the plant.
Yeah. And it's such a, like I said, it's such a fulfilling lifestyle. It really is. Oh, and it's just, it's a great way of life. And you know, I owe it to my wife. You know, she enlightened me. She was a Morpheus.
Who thinks that we should get Andrew's wife on? Andrew and his wife on.
I do.
Yes, I think we, Sarah, if you're watching, we've got to get you on sometime. Ray has a reply comment to the vaccine question earlier. Would be the Flexner report.
Ray, I'll tell you this. I'll look into it. You know, and I get it. I understand. I hear your questions. I fully understand it. I just think that on something like this, I'm not going to give medical advice and things like that. I think it's just better to play it safe and sit on the fence. I'm sorry, mate.
And I've got to add to that I've actually stopped sharing, pretty much predominantly stopped sharing anti-vaccination stuff on my page because I do actually get a lot of flack.
Yeah.
I really get a lot of flack. And whether I personally believe in it or not, I get people message me privately, ask me, what are my thoughts on it, you know? Yeah. But I've just, it's such a hot, sensitive topic.
It is, it's really sensitive. And, it shouldn't be, it's hard. It's very hard. Yeah. I get it. And I understand both sides. And then I think that's the best thing you can do is you can understand both sides, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, looking at the time, we have done now. Give us a
oh yes, bring it in, Jesus!
And it has been such a pleasure.
It's been great.
Such a pleasure to chat with you. I've really just from the moment that Andrew walked in tonight prior to the live stream, we just got on like
house and fire. And we're thinking the same things. And I say it all the time. I love being around like-minded people.
It's
refreshing.
It is refreshing. It's definitely refreshing. And I'm thinking, you know, if you're watching this live stream and you're not yet vegan and you haven't yet been convinced, please at any time, I mean, you know, I've been vegan 39 years. You can always message me for any advice or links or whatever, you know, that will give you the information you need if you need that little push over the line. If I can do something to give back, you know, because you're doing something to give back as well, then it would be fantastic.
Yeah.
There's plenty more things we could have talked about that we didn't get to tonight, so we'll have to do another
show. Invite me back, mate.
I would love to. I think that's on the cards. Let's have a look at what's coming up in 2 weeks' time. We've been talking, actually, this will tie in with what we've been talking about tonight with the environment. In 2 weeks' time, on Tuesday, July the 23rd, I have Gerard Bishop, a climate scientist who worked for the Queensland government for, I think, 3 decades or something, and has done extensive research into the destruction of our climate locally in Queensland, and has also presented reports on it and done lectures on it and so forth. He's well known in that area. So Gerard will be joining me in 2 weeks' time. And this episode of The Vegan Hour will be on YouTube by tomorrow night, if it all goes according to plan. I want to thank everyone that's been watching. I want to thank you again, Andrew, for coming along.
Pleasure.
And I look forward to seeing you guys in 2 weeks' time on The Vegan Hour. Until then, live vegan and save lives. There, here we go. He only learnt this just before the...
I think I can do it on my left hand.
You doctors are so unfortunate.
I'm done, mate.
Have a great night, guys. Good night, everyone.